السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings on His most noble of creation, the noble messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in our journey to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His remembrance, to open our hearts to His guidance, to make our hearts receptive of the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from above the seventh heavens to have an impact on our hearts. Words that came as a blessing and a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to us through one of the greatest, if not the greatest, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rahmatan lil alameen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His companionship and the companionship of His Sahaba, because we are far removed chronologically by centuries from Him, yet we love Him, we believe in Him without having seen Him. As he said, I would love to see my brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the title of brothers. He said, those who believe in me without seeing me. So just for that, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, that just use that, because we have no deeds on which to stand on. And we see these tragedies every day, as have been mentioned, of our dear friends and companions who are passing away from one reason or another, COVID being one of those excuses. And inshallah, after the session, we will do dua for all of them. Again, a reminder for myself and for all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, that our sessions of Quran are a reminder for each other. I am no scholar. This is first a reminder for me that what we learn, we take from the sources, the original sources, the accepted ulama, the accepted interpretations, that we internalize them and we put them into action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to act on what He commands. He asks us to act on what He prohibits. So without action, these are empty words. In fact, they become evidence against us on the Day of Judgment, and there is some reference to that in today's halaqa. So again, the reminder that we take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very seriously. We analyze our lives with that standard: where do I stand? Because one day, just like our friends are leaving, we will be leaving, and we will see everything, what we sent forward and what we left behind. Today we embark on another Makkan surah, early Makkan surah, which is Surah Al-Infitar. And in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ asked Mu'ad ibn Jabal, when he was making long recitations at Isha time and people complained that they were tired, the Prophet ﷺ had asked him to recite surahs like Ash-Shams wa Duha. And in one narration, Surah Infitar. So this is one of those surahs. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said that anyone who wants to see with their own eyes Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, should read these surahs. Surah Takwir, Surah Infitar, Surah Inshiqaq, all within next to each other. And we've covered Surah Takwir before. So we start with the surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إذا السماء انفطرت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إذا السماء انفطرت. And as we said before, that the surahs that start with these إذا, when such and such thing happens, these are shurut, these are conditions. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts something with this, with a shart, after this shurut will be jawab of shart. Okay. Of what happens when these conditions are fulfilled. So the first condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Sama, everybody knows by now, is what we see as the skies, or we call it the first heaven, in which all of the stars and galaxies and exist, the planets. So this is the lowest of the heaven, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that Allah has decorated the heavens of the earth, the first sky out of seven, with all of what we know of the universe, 14.4 or 14.6 billion light years across that we know, the known universe. And all the galaxies in there, which are billions and trillions and trillions, everything. And it gives us a sense of permanency, because we see this day after day, every day. And people have seen this for decades, for centuries, for millennia. It has looked the same since Allah created it. Yet the one who created it did create it because it didn't exist before. Allah was alone, there was no creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created the heavens and the earth, fi sittati ayyam, in six of His ayyam, days. And we're not going to go into what days mean, because we've talked about it before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created what we call the heavens. So here we are talking about the heavens that we look above and always see perfect. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the skies, and do you see in Surah Mulk, do you see any defects in it? Do you see any tears in it? Do you see any irregularities in it? And the obvious answer is no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep looking for any deficiencies, any faults, and your gaze will get fatigued, will come back to you, and you won't find any defects. So we are seeing this. It is, if you could compare it to, if you're in a huge tent, so you're looking at the ceiling of the tent made of fabric, which is perfect, with nothing that is torn. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when that perfect sky, that perfect fabric is torn, there is a violent implication of infatarat, something that's torn apart. It's like a fabric that's torn apart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the skies being torn apart before. So if you could imagine that you are in a tent and you see nothing beyond it, and then suddenly, violently, this thing is torn, and then everything that was beyond becomes seen. The unseen becomes seen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the skies, in their perfect structure as He created them, one day they have a lifespan, they will be torn apart and gone. And when that fabric is torn, everything that's suspended from it, the lamps of the tent, will then fall and scatter and break. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the second condition, the second shart, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ تَثَرَتْ. كَوَاكِب is the plural of kawkab, which are these bright stars. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word nujum. We've heard so about nujum, which is another word for stars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the skies are torn apart or cleft asunder, and all the stars, kawakib, multitude, and we have no idea what this, in one word, the trillions and trillions of stars and planets and galaxies, everything will be scattered, will lose their perfect orbits that they are in. See how perfect we can, we the scientists tell us how perfectly the system is working. We know exactly when this, the Earth goes around the moon. We know exactly what happens on Jupiter. We know exact, and it's very predictable when the moon comes, when it sets, when the sun, all of that perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in and had put it when he created it, one day it will end. And the stars will be just flying around in the dark, because elsewhere in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything will be dark. So you will be, you know, if you could hear the missiles firing in the dark, you know, going by, this, and these are not going to be little bullets, they're going to be stars. So it gives you an idea of fear. There's no place to run. It gives you a fear of, gives you a sensation of panic, of anxiety, that everything that all of humanity has ever known is going to be disrupted. And this is what's going to happen on the earth, on the in the heavens. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back to our little piece of speck of dust, which is called the earth. What will be happening here? And as we already know, that the major portion, 70 to 80% of this earth, is covered with water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what's going to happen on the water and what's going to happen in the land. Okay. He says, shart number three, third condition. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Bihar, from Bahar, everybody knows Bahar is ocean. Bihar, the oceans, the seas. Fujirat. We had Fujirat before. Fujirat means like an explosion, like something that breaks through. Okay. In the previous surah we had said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, that the oceans, the seas, will be set ablaze. Here it says Fujirat, which could mean explode or overrun the land. Means they go beyond their limits. So both of those are possible. You can combine that there are explosions in the water. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could separate, I'm just giving you an example, the hydrogen from the oxygen. And then the hydrogen explodes. What would that produce compared to the hydrogen bombs we have today? The oceans would explode. And they would overrun the earth, you know, like the tsunamis. We have seen graphic pictures of that a few years ago, that 40-foot and 100-foot waves come and take everything with them. That is the Fujirat, the explosion of the oceans. They go beyond their bounds. What else happens on the earth? What's left on the earth is the land. That the land will be shaken, as we heard. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. It will be shaken violently in its ultimate earthquake. Not limited to one area, not limited to Chile or to Turkey or to Iran. The whole earth, and it's not going to be a 6.8. It's going to be the ultimate on the Richter scale, where the Richter scales would fail. Shaken to the degree that the mountains are leveled, they become dust. With that shaking, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the fourth condition. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. قُبُور, plural of قَبْر. Wherever a person was buried, wherever the remains were, whether it was under the ocean, whether it was under the land, whether it was scattered in a urn after being cremated, wherever they are, they will be overturned. They will be just like you turn it over, it comes out. That those graves will be opened. And what will happen by the opening, as we are told? Suddenly, from whatever remains, the atoms of that person remain, everything will be brought together and they will stand up. Suddenly. Wherever they were. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us will happen. And this is where the kuffar of Makkah had the biggest problem. They couldn't accept this as being true. They said, how can it be when we become dust and bones that we can be brought back to life and then have the judgment? So we are not, this, we are done, we are done. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very simple argument elsewhere in the Quran. He says, is it harder to bring you back from your remnants, or was it harder to bring you from nothing? You were nothing. Was it easier to create you the first time, or is it easier to create you the second time? Simple argument. So it will happen. So those are the four conditions. The skies are gone. The stars are gone. The oceans are exploding. The earth is shaken and turned over so that everyone is thrown out of the earth. Four conditions. Now comes the jawab of shart. For each one, you can say, what will happen after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next ayah, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Now, we said that each one of those four conditions is very, very scary. It's very scary. It's very serious. But look at what comes next. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ. That every nafs, every human being, every soul, Alimat will know to what degree, in every detail, ma qaddamat wa akharat, in simple translation, what he or she has sent ahead and what he or she has left behind in this world. Do you think this is scary? This, in my opinion, is more scary than the previous ones. Because that's happening elsewhere. Now the question is, I am scared because everything else is being destroyed, but my memory of everything is being restored so that everything I did is now clear. And what does that mean? Now I remember everything that I have to account for. Every word is clear. Every hope is clear. Every action is clear. Good or bad. So any sin that we have done, even if we have done a lot of good, any sin, even if it is minor, is going to cause so much fear and panic, because Day of Judgment that we promised is here. What will happen to me? And as we said in the previous surah, at this point the person would be so consumed by themselves that they will not think of anyone else. They'll be running. فِرُّ مِنْ أُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. If you remember from the last one. Everyone on that day will be so preoccupied, so concerned, so fearful of their own things, that they will have no concern for anyone else. So this is the jawab of shart, is the one that's causing the scare. I mean, that's happening to him. Now my concern comes. Alimat nafsum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered all of that information to me, not just in my book that will be hanging, but I remember now, it's become clear. Even if when I was young and even I had forgotten, I mean, no matter how young and how strong and how brilliant you are, you forget some things. Oh, I forgot I had done such and such thing. Everything will be brought back, and that's really scary. That's why that's something that needs to be taken care of, so that my anxiety on that day is limited, because everything that I had done, as far as I knew, I had rectified it. I had returned every loan. I had, you know, asked for forgiveness from everyone, for every word. If I had cheated anyone, I had rectified that. I had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. I had done my tawbah for everything. That's why it's also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think, when you're reminded of some sin that you committed, that you had forgotten, this Allah reminding you of that, so that you can clear it now. And sometimes, like some of us, when we stand on Arafah, suddenly things come to our mind that we had completely forgotten. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy to remind us, you forgot that sin that you never did tawbah for. Now I'm reminding you so you can clear it right now. So alimat nafsum ma qaddamat. The word ma means everything. It's open. Okay, no restriction for anything. Ma qaddamat wa akharat. Now qaddamat means to send forward, and akharat means to leave behind. Now there are many interpretations, the simplest one of which is that this refers to your good deeds that you have done that are sent forward. Means you do good deed, it's done. Now where is it? It has been recorded for your future. Every bad deed that has been done, where is it? It's over. No, it has been recorded and sent forward. Okay. Similarly, so every opportunity that you and I had to do good, we availed of it, it was sent forward. If we didn't avail of a good opportunity and we left it behind, that is one way of looking at akharat. That you will look back, oh, I had that opportunity. The adhan was called and I didn't get up. There was a need for charity, I didn't do it. There was this good deed I could have done to help my family, I didn't do it. Means I left it behind and therefore I have regret. So that works both ways. Also, qaddamat and akharat means in some that what came before, like what we did in our early lives, as opposed to what we did in the akhir, in the last part of our lives. Okay, that you will know what you did in your early life and what you did in your late life. So, and it can work both ways. For example, a person could have been very righteous and pious and strong Muslim in their youth, and then as they grew older, they became careless. Okay, so that's a bad situation. On the other hand, somebody may not have been a good, you know, practicing abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignoring many of the things, including faraid in their youth and the young early years. But later on, Allah gave them tawfiq and they came into Islam properly as they should. So their akharat becomes better than their qaddam. So it works both ways. So that's another way of looking at it. At the early stage of my life, the late stage of my life, what I did, the deeds that I've sent forward, the deeds that were left behind. Also, the things that you send forward are your deeds. What you leave behind also can be good and bad. For example, when we pass, you leave behind a family that's very obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've left that behind. There are masajids left behind that you helped, you donated to and built. So that's akharat, which will continue to benefit you. Similarly, if you did something wrong and left it behind, you started a haram business, and then you left, but your family continued to develop that into more and more haram, all of that is going to be hanging from your neck, because that's your akharat. So we have to look at all of those things of what we send forward, what we leave behind. And that's something that we should reflect on. What have I done in my early life? What am I doing now? What do I propose to do or plan to do going forward? Also, have I left enough good behind? Have I sent enough good forward? All of those, and to fix those. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that there is definitely a day of judgment and you will know it. And even if you will know it so well that when it's presented to you, you cannot deny it, because your memory is going to be crystal clear. So after this portion of highlighting some of the physical events of the Day of Judgment and the emotional state of each of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, you know, you should be planning for this. You should be getting ready for this meeting with your Rabb. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a beautiful way, says, in the next ayah, he says, يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O insan. And as we said, when you say insan, generally it means individuals, not collective, nas. Insan. And as we said, insan, one of the roots of insan is nasiya, to forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in a way, giving us a subtle hint, ishara, that, O you forgetful man, ma gharraka, what has deceived you, what has lured you away, what has made you heedless or careless or not connected, bi rabbikal kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word Allah, that what has made deceived you from Allah, because Allah is the creator. The word Rabb has a relationship of the creator and the created, the abd and the ma'bud, the worshipper and the worshipped. Okay, rububiyya, the Rabb, when Allah uses, is a relationship, that we had a relationship. I created you, I was your khaliq, but I'm telling you that I am your Rabb, I am your caretaker, I am your provider, I'm involved in your life all the time. We have this beautiful relationship from my side. Where is the beautiful relationship from your side? You have forgotten who is your provider, who is your creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then qualifies that being your Rabb by saying Al-Kareem. He's not just your Rabb, but he's the most generous of providers, the most generous of caretakers, the most generous of protectors, the most generous of providers, that you have the best Lord. You are lucky to be his slave, and yet you forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in a, you could use the word sort of, it's like a form of a complaint, but don't use that word for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh mankind, what has taken? And Allah already knows. Obviously, we know the answer. What has taken us away from him? It is shaitan who has taken us away from him. It's our own desires, our nafs, lower desires, that have taken us away. Getting too preoccupied with the dunya, wanting the dunya, dunya has taken us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in other words, that's not what you should be doing. You should be coming back to your Rabb and preparing for that meeting with your Rabb. So who is this Rabbikal Kareem? Alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak. He is the one, khalaqaka, who created you from nothing, who created you from base fluid, who created you in three layers of darkness, who fed you in the womb of your mother, who brought you out helpless, who helped you to grow, who gave love to you through your parents, and so on and so forth, and made you grow strong. All along, every day, every moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sustained us and made us grow. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ. He portioned you in the best way, فَعَدَلَكَ, and in the most balanced of proportions. He shaped you, فَسَوَّاكَ, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, in a balanced way. Because everything that Allah has made has a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he created the heavens and earth in balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are in balance, you know. He has rahma and he has ghadab. Allah forgives and he punishes. Everything is in balance. You know, there is hot, there is cold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put justice and injustice, you know. There is a balance of everything, and he made us into the most balanced of his creations. He proportioned us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that I am that same Lord from who you are disconnecting, the one who created you and proportioned you and gave you everything. The way you think, the way you speak, the way you look, everything is, if you want to use the word, individually sculpted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, individual characteristics, individual genetic peptides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these together for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best of our age, you know, our lives, the last part of our lives, and the best of our actions, the last action, and the best day, the day in which we meet Him. اللهم إنا نسألك خير العمر آخره وخير العمل خواتمه وخير الأيام يوم ألقاك فيه. آمين.